It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, July 21st. I'm Patricia Naft. Montrose police are still looking for 82-year-old Mary Finnegan. The woman was last seen Friday driving a silver-colored Mercury Grand Marquis. According to police, Finnegan has slight dementia and may be lost and confused. Anyone with information should contact law enforcement. Colorado delegates at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland made waves this week when they walked off the convention floor in protest over the rules. As Benta Brooklyn reports, most of the delegates did not vote to nominate Donald Trump for president, and there are still hard feelings.
Delegate Britta Horn is the Rout County Treasurer and lives in the town of McCoy. She was backing Texas Senator Ted Cruz and was among the delegates calling for a roll call vote. While that convention fight is now over, she says some bad feelings linger.
We just need to have some healing and some closure until we can move forward with this unity. And I am not for that, what I call, was coercive unity by not letting our voice be heard.
Still, Horn was one of the few in the 37-member delegation that eventually backed Trump's nomination on Tuesday. She notes that there's no other candidate that's going to parachute in. And as she says, Cruz left us before we left him. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The legal fight continues between Delta Montrose Electric Association and the wholesale supplier they buy power from. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Earlier this week, Tri-State Generation and Transmission appealed to the federal government, hoping to bypass the recent ruling against them. The conflict is centered on local generation, things like hydroelectric and solar, based right here on the Western Slope. DMEA wants to buy that electricity, and the government says that they have to. Tri-State will lose money if that happens, though. So, after losing the fight over whether it even be allowed, they tried to charge DMEA more to cover losses. They lost that fight, too. Now Tri-State is appealing, asking for a special waiver so those decisions won't apply. The federal agency has previously taken months to release a decision. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Wyoming, like other energy-producing states, is shedding jobs in coal, oil, and gas. But the renewables industry is growing nationwide, including jobs to make parts like wind turbine blades and towers. Wyoming wants to attract wind manufacturing jobs as part of an effort to diversify its fossil fuel-based economy. But right now, the state has none of these jobs. Neighboring Colorado has thousands. Inside Energy's Lee Patterson went to find out what's standing in the way, starting off in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
From a distance, wind turbines are pretty sleek looking, but there's a lot going on behind those spinning blades. Brian Boatwright is an instructor in wind energy technology at Laramie County Community College. Right. He takes me up.
So this is our nacelle.
Into a deconstructed nacelle that's used for teaching. It's a huge rectangular box, usually perched high up at the top of the turbine.
You see the white pole, but then you look up and you see something that looks like an RV sticking there.
Boatwright trains his students to fix the parts housed in the RV-shaped nacelle.
So what I'm going to do now is turn on my hydraulic pump.
Many of those students go on to be wind turbine technicians. And according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that's the fastest growing profession in the country. Sounds great, right? But here's the thing. As of 2014, there were only around 4,400 wind turbine technician jobs nationwide, and only a handful in Wyoming. Compare that to the number of people who manufacture wind turbine components, parts like nacelles and blades. The American Wind Energy Association estimates that across the U.S., there are around 20,000 of these workers.
So bringing manufacturers to this state would be probably one of the most incredible things that you could ever do in the state of Wyoming right now as a short-term band-aid.
To stop what Boatwright refers to as the bleeding of coal jobs, Wyoming has lost hundreds this year. Attracting this kind of manufacturing is part of Wyoming Governor Matt Mead's energy strategy for the state. But Ben Avery of the Wyoming Business Council says there are some big barriers, like a relatively small available workforce and distance to an international airport. And then there's a more political kind of barrier to growing the wind industry as a whole.
One thing that everybody knows about, everybody makes the comment, oh, you're Wyoming.
The only state in the country to tax wind production.
Everyone says that, and that's not positive.
And right now, Wyoming is actually considering raising that tax. But just across the border in Colorado, it's a very different scene. Over the past 6 years, Colorado has become a top wind manufacturing hub with 20 facilities spread out across the state, including this one owned by the Danish wind giant Vestas. Vestas is the largest wind manufacturer in Colorado, employing around 3,500 workers statewide. This factory opened in Brighton in 2010.
All right, just to start off real quick, we're employing about just over 400 employees at this particular facility.
Our enthusiastic, fast-talking tour guide named Chris Welsh showed us around the vast factory floor.
We're building the nacelle and the hub, so two separate assembly lines.
The process of making these parts, he says, is straight assembly.
Honestly, average men and women that are producing these. We do have good skill sets, but it's not something great skill sets like master electricians and general foremen from construction sites.
He explains the workforce includes everyone from ex-teachers to convenience store workers.
Hello there.
I meet Scott Winner in his office just down the hall.
I am the vice president and factory manager.
Winner says Vestas chose to set up shop in Colorado because of access to rail networks, proximity to wind projects, and an available labor force, which he hopes will grow. But when I asked how much workers here make, trying to figure out what these jobs mean for the local economy...
No, I can't comment on that. I just can't.
But what about media reports of $16.95 an hour plus benefits?
I can say that you're in the ballpark of that, yeah.
As communities all across the country try to figure out how to offset some of the job losses in fossil fuels, wages matter. Because the average Wyoming coal miner, the folks who are losing jobs by the hundreds, makes around $34 an hour, double that ballpark figure of $16.95. So even if wind factories did move across state lines, this shift alone wouldn't come close to replacing coal. For Inside Energy, I'm Lee Patterson.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.